Okay, so we have a new mitzvah tonight, the mitzvah of Kilei HaKerem, which has similarities and differences. Actually, learned out from a completely different pasuk than what we've been doing. We've covered before Kilei, sort of Kilei Zroyim a little bit, and Kilei Eitzim, right? The idea of grafting trees. So that limud of grafting trees. So that was a pasuk in Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim, right, where it discusses that in the context of grafting trees and grafting animals and above ground. So the pasuk of Kilei HaKerem actually appears in Parshas Ki Teitze, sort of on its own. It sort of stands on its own later on. I should have put this down here, but I assume I can find it here in the introduction. Yeah, so in Devarim it says, "Lotizracha karmacha kalayim." This is Devarim Chaf Beis. You shouldn't sow your vineyard with a mixture. Pentiktash hamalei zera shetizra tefuah hakerem, lest the fullness of the seed which you've sown be forfeited with the product of the vineyard. Right? So if you plant something in the vineyard, so that's going to affect the vineyard. That's going to be a problem. Now, besides the issue of it being usher to do, so this is actually usher bahana as well. Okay, so that, and at least in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the same thing is going to be applicable, it is extended outside of Eretz Yisrael, so this is shifted a little bit, as opposed to Kilei Zroyim, mixtures of seeds, which was mutter, and as opposed to mixture of trees, which is an isser, which was usser completely to do, so assumed to be an isser d'oraisa. This is an isser d'rabbanan outside of Eretz Yisrael, and as opposed to Kilei Zroyim, which one was permitted to eat in Chutz La'aretz. Here it is usser to do, meaning the extension. I mean, there was totally mutter to do and mutter to eat. Here it's usser to do and mutter to eat. That is the quick din with kilei hakerem, with kalayim that are in the vineyard. Now there is a considerable. You can come get your stuff. You need. Right now there is considerable discussion here in Yerushalmi here in Maseches Kalayim. So in the beginning, oh, this is the page is different. The one what I have here is different than what I sent you, but the. Oh gosh, the pagination here is different. But in Yerushalmi Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, so there it discusses what is the amount that you need in order to violate the prohibition of Kilei HaKerem. So this doesn't match up to what I had, so I will pull up the document I sent you. Hold on. There you go. Okay, so right there in the middle.
Question: when we say it's usher, do we mean the grapes are usher, or the grain is usher, or both?
Sounds like both would be usher in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now what exactly is the problem with mixing with grapes? What do you need? So the pasuk here says, four lines down by the two dots there in the Yerushalmi on the first page, except the pasuk says, "Ksiv lotizracha karmacha kalayim." So you're not allowed to plant in your vineyards kalayim. Melamed she'eno chayv ashiyizra shnei minim bekerem, divi Rabbi Yeshaya. So comes Rabbi Yeshaya and says, you shouldn't plant kalayim in your kerem. So he says, well, what does kalayim mean? Kalayim means two. So you're not allowed to plant kalayim. You need two minim, two things to be planted in your vineyard in order to violate the iser. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshaya. And the truth is, that's the way we paskin, interestingly enough. The Yerushalmi continues. If you would have asked me, I would have thought, like, really? But that is the din. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, right? Afilu menachad, even one. So al daiti de Rabbi Yonasan ksiv sadacha lotizra kalayim. So how does he understand davar namar? So how does he understand the pasuk? So namar lotizra charmacha kalayim. You're not allowed to plant kalayim. Chavrei amrin lahachmer alav afilu min echad. That it's coming as a chumrah to teach you even one min. That he understands it as you can't plant anything in your kerem that will make it kalayim. That's Rabbi Yonasan's understanding. Al daisei de Rabbi.
Something. I'm not sure if there's only one min there. How can it be kalayim?
No, in the vineyard. No, one min plus the vineyard.
Kalayim with the vineyard. Kalayim with the grapes.
Right. So Rabbi Yonasan is saying you're forming a mixture with the grapes. And Rabbi Yeshaya says you need two minim in order to form, in order to be kalayim to then join with the grapes. In fact, Al Daisi Rabbi Yeshaya sarcha l'tizra kalayim le'eza davar nemar l'tizracha karmacha kalayim. So how does he understand that then? So chavri amrin lehitarye she'im hisrubo mishum sadcha loka mishum karmacha loka. In order to say that either one you would be chayev for, that if they warn you about the that you're putting kalayim in a vineyard, you're chayev that, and if they warn you you're planting kalayim, meaning if you're planting two seeds together, that already is an issue of kalayim. So if they say you're violating kalayim of sada, right, so you're going to be chayev on that anyways, despite the right and you'll be chayev on makos either way you go. That's the way Rabbi Yeshaya assumes. Now, we actually do paskin like Rabbi Yeshaya. If we take a look here in the Beis Yosef, so interestingly enough, if you look at the Beis Yosef, the entire Tur Beis Yosef for this, for Reish Tzadivav, is 6 pages. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, there are something like 67 sifim in this din, and so some of that is well, why is that? So because there are many, many halachas, right? This is all those diagrams and stuff that you find in the Mishnayos. However, the assumption seems to be that it was only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. That of course it wasn't really Lamaisa outside of Eretz Yisrael, so the Torah didn't really spend much time on it. But even the Beis Yosef himself didn't spend much time on it. It's just when he got to the Shulchan Aruch itself, all of a sudden you have 60-something sifim on this topic. So I think we'll cover the first couple of them, the first four. I think that should give us enough flavor to be able to feel like we got some amount of understanding as to what's going on here. So if we now turn into the tour here, so the tour is a summary. So Kilei HaKerem be'Eretz Yisrael Aser Min HaTayra L'Zorin U'L'Kaimin. If you have a vineyard in Eretz Yisrael, it's Aser De'Oraisa to plant there and to sustain it. V'Aser Lihenos Mi'Apri HaYotz Mi'Hem. And the fruit that come from it, in addition to the grapes, I believe, let them say it explicitly, right, is going to be Aser Bahana. Now, Chutz La'aretz, it's Aser Midrabanan. I mean, the whole thing is only an Aser Durabanan. Hilchach Sveiku Be'Eretz Yisrael Aser V'Chutz La'aretz Mutter. So therefore, any doubts that you're going to have in Eretz Yisrael, we would be Machmir. In Chutz La'aretz, we would be Mekel. So Ketzah, what would that be? So a Yerek Ha'omeid Bein HaKfan Ve'en Yadua Im Nizra Sham Be'Isser Im Lav. So let's say you have a vegetable sitting with the grapes in the vineyard, and you don't know how it was planted. Was it planted Be'Isser or not? So Afilu Im Roash HaGoy Lokeit Misham Mutter Lo La'ochla. So even if you see the guy took it from there, you're allowed to eat it. This is details in the Mishnayos there. We sort of came across this also already, that if he took it, you know that he took it from there, but you weren't involved with it at all, you would be permitted to eat that fruit. But you wouldn't be allowed to eat it from there. Why would that be? I've got to go back and review the Mishnayos. I don't remember how that worked out. But in Eretz Yisrael, Aser Lazarin Ulakaiman Umitarn Bachila Uvachutzlaris Mutter Lachila Arvan Biyachar Ulazarin. But when it comes to planting it again, so in Eretz Yisrael that would be a problem. In Chutzlaritz it's Mutter. Velo Mikre Kilea Kerem, here we go. Elim Kane Zoreya Shne Mine Tavuos O Shne Mine Zorayim Im Chartzan Yachad. But it's only called Kilea Kerem if you take two types of Tavuos or two types of seeds and plant that together with the grapes. Rabbi Yeshaya, in accordance with Rabbi Yeshaya, the Amar Achi Yizra Chita V'Seora V'Chartzan V'Mepolis Yad. That he says that you require, this goes right to take a chita and seora and the grapes and put it all together in one hand amount. I mean, to put them all in together, that's the only way you'd be chayiv. Aval min echad im chartzan o shnei minim bein bekfanim or two types bein hagfanim. Amongst the vineyards, but not necessarily together, but mapolis yad, mutter lechachil azorin b'chutzlaretz. That would be permissible totally in chutzlaretz, although the Raiva disagrees and the Ramah disagrees, but that is enough to get started on. So if you take a look, so how do we know how we pass, right? The Torah just assumed that we paskin like Rav Yeshaya. Now, which is interesting, because it seems to go against, like, the simple Mishnayos. So that's discussed here in the Beis Yosef at the bottom of this page. It says, V'lo mikre kilei akerem, elem kein zoreya shnei mine tfuos or shnei mine zorayim. Im chartzen yachad k'rabi Yeshaya. So he says it's only an issue if you take two types of tvuos or two types of zorayim and plant them together in accordance with Rabbi Yeshaya. So where do you see that? So perek, so he says, V'sof perek kama b'kiddushin, u'perek mishamesu, u'perek rishis hagez, amirin d'kaimelem k'rabi Yeshaya. In all three of those Gemaras, in the Bavli, it seems like we pass it like Rabbi Yeshaya. Damar achi yizra chita v'sa'ora v'chartzen v'polos yad. Oh, thank you. Right? That he says, until, did you bring me sushi too? Oh, that's all gone. Oh.
There's plenty left if you want later.
Oh, okay. So achi yizra, right, until you plant the chita, sa'ora, and chartzen all at one time. So the Gemara just assumes that way. So it's interesting. This is an example where you would call this a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi, right? You have a machlokas Rav Yeshaya and Rav Yonasan. I don't think we really have a klal how to paskin between those two, those two early Amorayim. So you would generally go lahachmir on this machlokas. But yet the Bavli assumes like Rav Yeshaya. So there, that's a rule. How do we paskin between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? So we, the riff at the end of Erev in some place says the famous idea, well, it's a question how applicable it is, of halacha kibasrai, right? That you follow the later position, and the Bavli is a later position over Eretz Yisrael, right? And Rav Elchanan Wasserman expands upon that a little more. He explains that the Bavli had the Yerushalmi and was included, and then you had all of Chachmei Yisrael and living in Bavel, they took the Yerushalmi into account, and if they wanted to paskin against it, they paskin against it. So here's an example of where we paskin against the Bavli is paskin against the Yerushalmi. I think all Rishonim assume this way. Now, what's interesting is that not only does it go against the Yerushalmi, but it seems to also be going against the Mishnayos. But he says here, Kamel Rabbi Yeshaya Damar Ad Sheyizra Chita V'Seora V'Chartzim V'Polos Yat. Right? Because it seems like Rabbi Yeshaya that you need to have Chita Seora and grapes. Now, Chita Seora is not necessarily Dafka, but two things plus grapes. And the Rush says in Hilchos Kalayim, Perish Ri, that Afal Pi Shekama Mishnayos U'Braisos V'Sugyos the Talmuda the Lok Rabbi Yeshaya. He says there's actually a lot of Mishnayos and Braisos that don't seem to go against according with Rabbi Yeshaya. So who, for example, the Mavir Eitzecha Nakuv Bekerem Kodesh. He says, if you walk around with a pot with a hole in the bottom, right? So we have a concept that you see in Zerayim, that when you have a pot with a hole in the bottom, so that's considered to be connected to the ground. So if you walk around a pot in, if you take a, so the Mishnayos seem to, are saying, right, if you take a pot with... One second. Yeah, I got Shua on it. So he says not only it seems to go against the Mishnah, right? If you walk around with a pot in it and the pot grows, that's considered to be a violation of Kalayim, right? If there's a hole in the bottom of the pot, that's considered as if it's connected to the ground. So he says, well, what do we have? We have an Utzitz Nakuv and a Kerem, so it's going to be Kaddish. It's going to be a problem of Kalayim. So he's saying, wait a second, but the assumption is there's only one seed in that pot. So it's only one seed with the climb. What are we even talking about? Or another one, Vahida Hamisachich Gafno al Gabi Tvua Shel Chavero. Hopefully we'll get to this later. Somebody who takes their vine and plants it on top of the wheat field of their friend. Right? So, and there's a bunch of Mishnayos there, whether that forms climb or not. We'll get to that. So, but what's the implication there? That if you just take the vine and put it on top of your wheat, that already seems to be a problem. But there's only one min, right? So what's going on? That seems to go against the position of Rabbi Yeshaya. But yet, nevertheless, that's the way you pass. And v'od kama mishnayos sechas kaim v'sugya tamud v'parakulin. Afilu hachi b'doros achronim chazur liyos osim k'Rabbi Yeshaya. He says, but nevertheless, in later generations, they went back to do like Rabbi Yeshaya. Which is also a little interesting. What do you mean they went to do? I mean, it's not really about what you do, it's about what you paskin in something like this. But, okay, that's what he says. Now, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, no, it's not about that Rabbi Yeshaya is only talking about an Isser Makos. But in terms of the Isser itself, so that would be that even Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yedah, but I think most Rishonim seem to be following the position of the Rambam, the position of the Rush, that you need two seeds in order to really be in violation of this din. Yeah. Now there's a further discussion as to whether you need right, whether it's specifically chitas ora, or perhaps it's even additional things. It seems like we paskin that additional things also chitas ora are only examples, and other types of minim would also be an issue. But fine, I think that's probably enough for now with regards to the Beis Yosef. So we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is a strange. It almost looks funny because isn't much discussion, right? There's the first page, the second page, and then the pages beyond that are almost entirely right Shulchan Aruch here, right? The Taz and Shach don't really get involved. In this parak, there is no Piskei Tshuvos here on this parak. So in order to search for stuff to talk about, you have to get a little more creative. But comes the Shulchan Aruch here and says, right, how Zareya Shnei Minei Tevuo Shnei Minei Yirakos, you take two types of grains or two types of vegetables. Im Zara HaKerem HaReza Loke Shtayim. Right, if you plant this in a kerem, in theory, you actually chayiv makos two times. Echa Mishim Sarcha Lutizra, because in effect you're planting kalayim. Right, and also v'achas mishum l'tizur karmacha kalayim, and you're also violating putting it in your vineyard. Ve'inu lok mishum l'tizur karmacha kalayim actually is reveres Yisrael chita v'saora v'chartzan v'polis yad. He says you're only chayiv for karmacha if it is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if it is specifically wheat, barley, and the grapes in one thing. V'chein, but then he adds in v'chein chafa usamba afar loka, and also if you bury them in dust. I believe that's what it means. Meaning, it's not just that you put it underneath, but if it was down already and then you put dust on top of it, so that would also be enough in order for you to be chayiv. Right? Oh, and then he adds in v'chein zera shnei mina yerek v'chartzen, or two types of vegetables in a chartzen. Zera echad yerek v'zera echad min tevuah v'chartzen. Mepolis yad hareza look. All those you would be chayiv for all then. But again, in all of them you need two more. Right? One is not enough. Beinu chayiv min atayra el al kanbus v'lof v'chiyot behen mizrayim she nigmarim. This part I didn't figure out where the source was, but he says you really only chayiv doraisa if you take two grown things. Just taking two seeds that are inedible, that would not be sufficient to violate kilei akerem. Also, it's aser derabanan chutz laaretz ve'ein odedin ima ove kochavim bekalayim aval okrin imo kedei lemayit ha tifla. And we don't. This is a din in Avodah Zarah that we don't hoe with an ove kochavim bekalayim. Meaning, if it's a non-Jew's field and he pays you to work, so you're not supposed to work on the field because that's considered sustaining the field. Aval okrin imo kedei lemay tatifla, but you're allowed to uproot it in order to minimize the tifla, in order to minimize futility, in order to make it as worthless as possible, you're allowed to do that. Now, it's interesting that Gemara, where this comes up in Avodah Zarah, is pointing out that by taking the job, you're actually hoping it lasts long enough for you to do the job. So it suggests maybe that's even a problem. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. To assume that to want it to last long enough for you to be able to do the job of destroying it and then to make money off of destroying it, that is permissible to do. Okay, so that is the basic Hilchos climb. So I'm looking at this like, I can't imagine how this is going to come up. I mean, if you have a vineyard, like it's just hard to see how this. People are generally keeping seeds out of vineyards. I can't imagine they're putting things in. I was maybe thinking that there's some sofer about that they used to do this, like we talked about putting the piece of wheat into the other thing in order to make it divine, in order to make it grow better, right? But I don't know. Nobody seems to have any discussion about doing this lemaisa. So, what?
You have to talk to a vintner to find.
Does this actually come up? Right. So I did not see any. The kashrus websites. Nobody seems to be concerned about this halacha. So I turned to the. I came up with two sugyas to discuss. One we sort of are into already. Maybe we'll go to that now, and the other one is for Sif Dalet. So I took a look in the Minchas Chinuch on this mitzvah, see if he had anything to say. And he actually had things to say, but he kept on alluding to earlier things. He kept saying, on this mitzvah, which is in Parshas Ki Teitzei, he says, oh, Well, so one of the things is, so when exactly are you chayiv for this din? Right? How are you going to, I mean, anytime you're talking about planting, so you require, it sounds like you require some amount of growth to happen. So at what point then are you going to be chayiv makos for doing this, for violating this this halacha? So that he does, so he says, take a look. I wrote at some length about this in he gave the mitzvah number. He says, take a look, the ayin sham v'timtza nachas. He says, look over there and you'll enjoy yourself. So all right, well, I was up for some enjoyment. So I took a look. So I actually have been there before. I think we might have even discussed this in shul at some point, but I'm not sure about that. I couldn't figure out, couldn't think where we may have done that. But there, it's in the middle of his discussion, actually, in Hilchos Yontif. So it's mitzvah Reish Tzadi Ches. It's in the middle of Parshas Emor. So there's an Isser, right? So the prohibition of doing Kol Malachas Avodah Lo Sasu. You're not allowed to do Malacha on Yontif. So the Minchas Chinuch here has a discussion in Yedalid. He says, well, what about if the Malacha gets done on Shabbos or Yontif and gets completed during the Chol? So when is that going to be? So there's a couple of malachos that sort of are longer range malachos. So number one, most obvious one being Zoraya, right? The issue of planting. So when, if I want to plant something in the ground, so how can I be, meaning there's 39 malachos on Shabbos, all 39 of them you need to be capable of actually being able to accomplish as a malacha, right? It is a valid question to say, right? You made it impossible for me to violate that malacha in a d'oraisa fashion, right? So there needs to be a way of violating Zoraya d'oraisa. So I thought for a second, well, actually, what about watering plants? Is that a violation of Zoraya? So it is, but it's a violation of a tolda of Zoraya. It's not the av malacha of Zoraya. The av malacha of Zoraya means to plant. So the problem is, if I'm planting on Shabbos, nothing happens yet. Right? If I plant on Shabbos and then I dig it up and look at what I find there, after Shabbos, it's gonna look exactly the same. And if I take it out, it's not gonna grow. Right? So why is it considered, so how do I violate the malacha of planting on Shabbos and Yontif? So if you take a, actually that was that first paragraph essentially. So if you take a look at the next paragraph, right, Vinei Zoraya. So the second to last paragraph on that page, Tuf Lamed Hey, he says, Zoraya b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov, havi av malacha, umvur b'psachim, gabi kile kerem, d'zeroa meikara enu nesar ele b'hashrasha. He says, in fact, the Gemara itself in Psachim says that when it comes to kile hakerem, right, the only prohibition is when it actually takes root. V'hainu d'nilkat ba'aretz. And Rashi there says that once that if it's put in the ground, once it's put in the ground, that's nothing, right? It's not considered to be kalayim until it actually takes root. It's like putting it in a bucket. Right? Inyan Omer, Inyan Onas v'Shvua, Havi Ibay Sham Ikemanach Echadadami. Imkain Efshar Lomer the Gam B'Shabes V'Yontov the Eino Over Alazria Rak Im Nishresh B'Karka. So he suggests that maybe it is possible that the only way to be Chayiv Zoraya on Shabbos is if it actually takes root, if it actually starts breaking down in some way. Now, you would need to, right, so maybe it doesn't apply to all plants or something like that. But he says, no, the next paragraph, he says, like we discussed with regards to baking, right? It would be the same thing with regards to baking. Are you chayiv for baking if you put something in the oven on Shabbos and it gets baked afterwards? So, why would it say that you're chayiv for zoreya? So, let's turn the page. He says, im kein heya chayiv ishim zoreya. If you plant during the week and the time of it taking root is Shabbos, that's like all malachas. If you do it before Shabbos and it happens on Shabbos, right? So you're not chayiv on that. So I'm skipping to the next paragraph where he gives the answer. He says, "Al korchach tzarich lomer di yesh chiluk bishul mami bishul o ofeg gemar afia o habishul nikra b'shem afia o bishul." He says, when it comes to cooking or baking, so then the conclusion of the cooking and baking, that's when you're going going to be chayiv. Aval kodem shenefa lo nikra b'shem afia klal after nasan l'tocha tanur. But if it didn't bake, meaning you just put it in the oven and then you take it out 2 seconds later and nothing happened to the food that was put in, so you did not violate cooking on Shabbos. Aval Lashon Zriya Chal Tekef. He says, however, when it comes to Zriya, that is immediate. Kishemnafetz Hazera Al Gabe Karka Have Zoreya. After Havi Kamad the Manas Bidikule, Hainul Inyan Hamuskar Leil, the Lomavur Bakra Zriya. He says, even though there's the idea of putting in the bucket, that's with regards to some reference before. Imkain after Havi Zriya, Mikomakum Efshar the Havi Ketolish Linyan Omer, about Lashon Zriya Shayach Shaper Taketh Kodem Shaniklar, Alkeim Chayev Taketh Bishabas Fiyamtav. Imkain Lefize, Imlakut Minha Aretz, Taketh Avar Zriya, Vaday Chayev. Says the Minchas Chinuch, if I put something in the ground, and then and I cover it up with dirt, and 2 seconds later I uncover the dirt and I take it out, says the Minchas Chinuch, it doesn't matter. You were chayiv d'oraisa. You violated the isra, the malacha d'oraisa of planting on Shabbos. I don't know how many people disagree with this. I tried taking a look quickly. I didn't have time to research this like I wanted to. At least the sheet of the Minchas Chinuch is that when it comes to planting, you're chayiv right away. And he says, not only that, when it comes to Zriyas Kalayim, V'chein Niranami, with regards to planting in the vineyard. Linin L'chayvu Malkus Al-Hazriya Chayiv Tekef Achelo Nishrash Ki Avar Alav Delo Tizra. You have already violated as soon as it goes in the ground. Raknis Kachu Linin Isser Havi Bashrasha. He says, the Gemara earlier, when it said in Pesachim, that it said that until it takes root, it's not considered to be Kalayim. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that's only talking about with regards to the produce becoming usher to eat. But in terms of the violation of the kalayim itself, he says that you're chayav on right away. That happens right away. And he actually, if you go to the next paragraph, he says, Shuv Hahar Hashem Yisparach Es Einai Ver Isid Demvura Kein Lehedya B'Divrei Rav HaMachaber. He says, and Hashem opened my eyes, and I saw this explicitly in the words of the Rav HaMachaber. Who's the Rav HaMachaber? Who's the Minchas Chinuch referring to as the Rav HaMachaber? It's a little bit strange. Usually, that type of phrase of, oh, Hashem opened my eyes, like, oh, I was able to dig up some tshuva someplace, I found, a piskei tshuva, something, some line like that. That's usually what the line means. Here he's saying, Hashem opened my eyes, and I found the line in the Sefer HaChinuch. Yeah, but your whole Sefer is a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. So, I'm not sure but he says in the mitzvah of Kilei HaKerem, in that Isser, which I didn't put a copy on, there the word that he uses, Kasav Lehedi Kidverenu, V'over Alzev, V'zara Kilei HaKerem, Lokami Doraisa Miyad Shezaran. He says the line in the Sefer HaChinuch when discussing a violation of the mitzvahs of Kilei HaKerem is when it gets planted, right? Even though it has not yet taken root. So at least the position of the Minchas Chinuch is with regards to this malacha, the malacha of not, he says Bishul is not the same thing, because Bishul can happen entirely on Shabbos. When it comes to planting Zoreya on Shabbos, Zoreya on Yontif, and Zoreya by Kalei HaKerem, it's as soon as it goes in the ground, even if you uproot it, doesn't matter, you've already violated the prohibition as soon as it goes in the ground and gets buried. Okay.
You don't think this is like rabbinical satire when he says that?
That what?
Oh, yeah. Comment that he opened his eyes and he saw it in the...
Oh, I don't know. Could be. Could be, yeah, all right. All right. Could be. Okay.
You have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually had another, so the second thing was also, I found the Minchas Chinuch, which he doesn't actually talk about also, but I'll mention that shortly. So so just continue on with a few of these halachos, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, and then we'll talk about Dalet. Beis is Ein Isser Mishum Kalei HaKerem Ela Minei Tvua Minei Yerakos Bilvad, Aval Shar Minei Zurayim Mutter Lizarim Bekerem Ve'Ein Tzarech Lomer Shar Ilanos. He says other types of seeds, right, plain seeds, sounds like flower seeds, things that aren't edible, aren't going to grow something edible, so that is actually mutter. He says, befeit, completely mutter, right? So to plant a tree in the middle of a vineyard, he says mutter, okay? Next, Gimel, asur lizora yirakos o tevua betzad hagafan. You also can't plant them nearby, these vegetables or wheat. Olita gefen betzad hayerek, o tevua, or the other way, to put a vineyard next to the the vegetables, vim asakein, afabish einu loka, right? You're not chayiv malchus for that. Areza kideish v'nesu shneim. You still are going to be forming klaim. Ba'ana, and it's going to be aser ba'ana, v'ayerek otvu v'kfanu v'sorfim es shneihem, shemar pentikta shemleyes azera, v'afilu hekish shel tvu v'eitzim shel gafanu ma'ilu asurim ba'ana v'sorfim osam, v'lo yasek behem tanur v'kirayim, v'lo yivashe behem be'eis reifas son. So if you actually violate these demons, now it's aser ba'ana, so you got to get rid of them. How are you going to get rid of them? So he says, you burn them. He says, okay, but burning them is great, assuming it's already a used oven. But if it's a new oven, so the burning itself finishes off the oven, like we discussed on Shabbos with the metal piece, right? So that first oven, the first use, makes the oven solid. So he says you can't use this kind of stuff for that first use, because then you're actually going to be getting hana and benefiting the oven. Okay.
I didn't quite understand the difference between when you get malchus and when you don't. It's how close you plant it.
In order for you chayiv malchus, it sounds like you need you need it to be all planted together, or you need to put the you need
mingled or something.
Right, it needs to be in your hand. It needs to be in your fist and be put in together. Right. So here, if they're just next to each other, it forms kalayim, but it doesn't. It's not the isser of kalayim. The isser of planting it. Okay. And then, okay, so now we get to Dalet. So Dalet is, I remember coming across this Mishnah, and the Mishnah Yomi is like very interesting. Around the same time we came across it in Yevamos. So the Gemara here, the Mishnah here says as follows. He says, well, Shulchan Aruch is quoting a Mishnah, where he says, Echad ha-roteh ve-echad ha-meik ve-kayim kiven shira kelayim tzamchu bekarme v'nicham ha-reze kiddush. He says, whether you're the planter or whether you're the sustainer, the farmer, right, as soon as you see the kelayim, and you leave it, that's when it is Mekadesh. Meaning what? So the way the Mishnah describes it is if you're in the middle of, riding your tractor, and you say, oh, look at that, there's Kalayim over there. So on the next, when I turn the tractor around and go back over that line, I'll uproot that Kalayim. Right, so you continue your work, so everything, so it doesn't become kalayim. Meaning, as soon as it only becomes kalayim. But if you decide, you're driving your tractor and you see some kalayim, it says, oh, I was about to stop for lunch. I'm going to go eat my lunch, and when I come back, I'm going to go uproot it. So then it becomes kalayim. Meaning, there is like this yediyah aspect to kalayim, which we're not used to dealing with. Meaning it becomes kalayim only when I see that it's kalayim, and I don't go and then I pause and don't. It doesn't say you need to go right away and take it out either. It says you can't have a hefsik before taking it out. So here you're planting. When soon you see the kalayim, so v'nicham hareza kiddush. That's when it becomes kiddush. The ein adam mekadesh period. Okay, so that's like shocking idea number one. Then it continues on and says the ein adam mekadesh davar she'ena shalo. He says, and also you can't be Mekadesh, you can't form Kalayim if it's not your own stuff. So Lufichach, therefore, Hamasachich Gafno al Gabi to a social chavero. If you take your vineyard, like your vineyard stuff, right, and you put it on top of someone else's wheat field, Kidesh Gafno, Vloni Skacha Tvua. Guess what? Only your geffen becomes usser, right? Your vineyard becomes usser because you put it together with wheat, but the other guy's wheat does not become usser, right? It's similar. Sikich geffen chavero al tevuaso, kiddush tevuaso, velo kiddush geffen chavero. If you take his geffen and put it on your wheat, similar, same thing. Your wheat becomes usser, but his geffen does not. And then sikich geffen chavero al tevuas chavero. And similarly, if you take someone else's geffen and put it on his tevua, lo kiddush, neither one is kodesh. Why? Bifnei zeh zoreya karmu b'shvias lo kiddushu. Similarly, if you do this zoreya with your kerem during shmita, it does not become kadosh. Why? Because it's not your land. All right, and this is the concept. Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually say the words, but this idea is mitok shalo adam oser davar she'ina shalo. A person is not capable of ossering something which is not his. Right, so I'm going around in my field, I put something too close to the border with someone else's wheat field. So I've ossered my stuff, but I have not ossered his stuff. It's the same mixture; they're just as close to each other, so it doesn't matter. Right, ein adam oser davar she'ina shalo, and that's the way the phraseology is put in Maseches Yevamos. I've lost track of what page we're on here, but using here in CAM scanner, right? So yeah, so on pay, so this Mishnah is found and quoted in Maseches Yevamos towards the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, where this line is Disnan Hamasachik Gifna Al Gabi Tevua, three lines from the bottom of the Gemara there. Shel Chaver Hareza Kodesh V'Chay Bachri Yuso Divrei Rabbi Meir. Right, if you put the gefen on top of someone else's tevua, so it's all becomes kalayim, and you're chayiv to pay the damages. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. However, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, turn the page or the next page. Right, ein adam oser davar she'ena shelo. You can't ask for something that's not yours. So Tosfos there on the top of the page, ein adam oser davar she'ena shelo, says, whoa. That's pretty crazy. So does that mean if I walk in, somebody is having a barbecue, or I actually got a text tonight from a guy saying, Rabbi Gross, I'm going to be in Wynwood tonight. Someone gave me your number. I'm going to be in Wynwood tonight. Can you take a look at my tefillin? I was doing, I forgot what the term is, mitziyot, I think is the term, like when they ask people to put on tefillin. Like when Chabad, right? I was doing mitzuyot yesterday at the Eagles tailgate, and someone poured beer on the tefillin. Can you take a look and make sure it's okay? So, right? So, what? Right, we have much to be proud of in Philadelphia. Here,
Was this accidental or intentional?
So really, I was going to tell the guy, like, it's probably fine, you know, as long as it didn't soak in it, it's probably fine. But I just want to meet him and, like, find out the real story. But, yeah, he says, I need to write Tilsha Rosh. Somebody poured beer on them while I was doing Mivtsoyim at the Eagles game tailgate. I was doing it at Drexel and coming to Overbrook tonight for bringing. Can I drop him off at your house, etc.? So I say, what about if you're barbecuing at the tailgate, right? And someone comes and drops a piece of cheese on top of your hamburger. So can I say, well, ein adam oser davar she'ena shelo? He's not allowed to oser my stuff, and therefore my hamburger is still okay, right? Can we possibly make that claim? So Tosfos there is obviously suspicious of that claim. Just pull this up here. Lost it. Yeah. So Tosfos there on the top says, "V'im Tomar." He says, "Umay shnami nosi nevela ochelu betavshel shel chaveru shenesar." He says, "Well, how's that any different than someone dropping nevela in, right? Some from guy is barbecuing at the Eagles tailgate. Another guy comes and drops his nevela hamburger on his grill. He says, "Oh well, you know the most davar sheina shalom." Right. So that can't be. So overly, he says, "No, the davar hatalu b'machshavahu d'amar hachi kagon machshava lebehimas chaveru the sof perakama dechulin the filu asaba meisa kagon sheshchita." He says, no. The only time we say Oyin Adam Oser Davar Sheina Shalo is if it is something that is reliant in Machshava, that you actually have to recognize the issue, right? The meat is Oser no matter what, right? But the case of Kalayim, apparently, is something that is Taloi B'Machshava, that you need to have a Machshava about. You need to recognize it in order for it to be a problem. Or he says here, for example, the example that the Tosfos uses here is an animal that someone shechs an animal l'shem avodah zarah. So it's a mutter shechita. The shechita was kosher, but he did it l'shem for the purpose of baal, right? So it sounds like what he's saying is, well, it's mutter. I mean, he did an appropriate shechita. It was my animal, right? He did it for avodah zarah, but he has no right to aser my thing just because he was doing it for avodah zarah. Right, so that's the distinction that Tosfos here makes. Right? So he says, so apparently Kalayim is something that is totally b'machshava. Yeah.
So when the Kohanim are doing the Korbanos, they can aser by people and all those things. That's also machshava. Right?
Well, that's but I think at that point it's already hektish. We would say, so that's a special din by hektish that they're asering the hektish idea, and in a way it's kind of theirs. But I'm not sure what too many other examples of where this would be applicable. But that, right, and Tosfos continues on and says, right, and that's actually the idea when it comes to kalayim, that kalayim is something that is tali b'machshava, right, v'isr kalayim, nami tali b'machshava, as we see Meseches Kalayim by Haroi Yerek, kishagia, right, this din, if I see a vegetable that's growing in the wrong spot, so I say, oh, when I get up to it, I'll take it out, right, that's okay, as long as I don't take a break, but as soon as I recognize it and then take a break, so that's when the problem of kalayim, sets in. So I was wondering, so this davar she'ina shelo, so I was trying to think, okay, so where does this come up? Like, does it come up another, like some other idea about this? So I don't know if he actually did this. It was on a source sheet that I set aside for shul when we were learning Yevamos, but I don't remember actually if he ever actually gave this shir. But the, it does come, there's a discussion here in what Reish Nun Aleph, I don't have the in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos is Reish Nun Gimel actually. No. What is the page in Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah there? Do you have it? Oh, there. Rishon Gimel Beis. Yeah, so Rishon Gimel Beis here, it's talking about, the issue of Chazara on Shabbos. Alright, so if something is sitting on a blech, right, Kir Shehi Grufa V'Ktuma V'Natal HaKadera Me'alav. So I have an oven that is properly covered, so there's a blech on top of it, and then I take a pot off of it. So afilu b'Shabbos, right? Even on Shabbos, mutter lahachzira, I'm allowed to put it back directly onto the blech, kolz machihi rosachas. A, so long as it's hot, the Rama adds in, v'od v'yado, and you're still holding it, v'lohi nicha al gabi karka, and you didn't put it down on the ground, v'daito lahachzira, right? And you had in mind the whole time to put it back. Right? So I got the chulin sitting on the blech, right? And I want to take chulin Friday night. I'm allowed to take it off, and then, and as provided that A, I hold on to it the whole time. I never put it, I don't put it down, although that's a little bit of a dispute. We'll just see a chabura from like 10 years ago on that topic, right? I hold on to it the whole time, and I had in mind to be machzir it the entire time. Right? So comes in the Bir Halacha here, about halfway through that Bir Halacha, so he quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eger. This is a Bechidush Rabbi Kiva Eger. I don't have any marks on it on the page, but Bechidush Rabbi Kiva Eger custom that filu imzeh maniyah chaya adam acher she'ein hakadera shelo gam kein moel hamaisa shelo lesser shuv lahachzer al gabi kira below shayich baze ein adam oser davar she'ein shelo. He says, even if somebody else comes along, right, and takes the chulin off and puts it down and leaves it, so he says, you guess what? He asserted it. It's ein adam oser davar she'ein shelo. So yeah, but he did it and he put it on the counter and that's it. That was a maisa that messes it up. Ach, he says, however, im adu biyado, he says, if it's still in his hand, but the only thing he was lacking was das to put it back on, right? So then, does his machshava work to aser to put back? So he says that tali b'machlokas harishonim ayin sham shaharet. He says the Rekivi Eger says as well. That's only with regards to a physical action. If somebody takes the pot and puts it on a counter and then leaves it there for a little bit. So it's my pot. It's not his pot. He says, yeah, okay, but he did an action, and that's like putting the treif meat onto the grill. He says, but if he was still holding on to it the whole time, he just was lacking the das of putting it back. So suggests Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says, if that's the case, so then that's a das issue. If it's a das issue, so then maybe we could say, ein adam oser davar she'ein shelo, that he doesn't have the ability to aser it, that which belongs to somebody else. So on the last page that I put on from the Avi Ezri, Rav Shach, So if Shach picks up on this from Akiva Eger and says, I don't think so, right? He says, "Vetzarach ilin lidvar v'zeh." He says, "Shapashet shekana oker hu im be'ez hanatila min akira daitu lahachser as mutter v'im ein daitu lahachser acher kach shehichsa reza kamo shesham mitchila v'asu v'lo mishum de ein daitu lahachser hayim shum shekavaso hayish lahachser." He says, "No, the idea of being teluy and das when it comes to the idea of chazara, that's inherent in the actions of Chazara. Meaning, when you took it off, or did you have in mind to put it back or not?" He says that's the only thing that's at play. He says if it would fall off by itself and you would catch it, right, would you say that you're allowed to put it back because it's not totally in die? He says, no, of course you're not allowed to put it back, right? It was lacking the appropriate machshava. So he says that it's that the machshava, the idea of, oh, I'm going to put it back, that itself is a reality, as opposed to by kalayim where you need the machshava in order to set the reality. Here it needs to be sort of part of the reality. That's the distinction that Rav Shach makes, and he says it can't be. He compares it to a person. The din is, if you're davening and all of a sudden your talus falls off in the middle of nowhere, so he says when you put it back on, you have to make another bracha. That's the din. We generally don't assume that way because we normally think that it doesn't just fall off right away, but it sort of slips off, and as it's slipping off, you realize I'm going to put it back on. So we don't usually assume that way. But on the books, the halacha is that if your talus all of a sudden falls off, so you need to make another bracha when you put it back on because you didn't have das when it came off, then I'm going to be putting it on again. So he says it's like that din. It's like that din. You don't say that, oh, you lacked das, so therefore it's not impactful. No, for certain halachos, it is the das is what's necessary. And if it's not there at the time, so then it's not going to be, we're not going to just treat it as, oh, it's not your fault, and we're going to ignore the need for it. So that's a little detail machlokus within the Hilchos of Chazara. So, all right. So we did some justice to the Lachos of Kilei Akarim. Was able to see some applications of it to other halachos, and we'll see where we go on to next Emir Hashem next week. Right? Nobody has any kids getting married or anything like that.
Not next week.
No. Okay.